Chapter 1. Me, Tom, and the Robber Gang. You don't know about me unless you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. That book was made by Mr. Mark Twain, and he told the truth, mainly. Now this is the way that book winds up. My friend Tom and me found the money that the robbers hid in the cave, and it made us rich. We got $6,000 apiece, all gold. Well, Judge Thatcher, he took it and put it out at interest. It brought us $1 a day apiece all the year round, more than a body could tell what to do with. Then the Widow Douglas, she took me for her son and said she'd civilize me. But it was rough living in a house all the time, seeing how awful regular and decent the widow was in her ways. So when I couldn't stand it any longer, I lit out. I got into my old rags and shed my shed again. Then I was free and satisfied. But Tom Sawyer, he hunted me up and said he was going to start a band of robbers. He said I could join if I went back to the widow and was respectable. So I went back. Well, the widow, she cried over me and called me a poor lost lamb, and the whole thing started up again. She put me in them new clothes, which made me sweat. She rang a bell for dinner, and you had to come on time. She wouldn't even let me smoke, though she took snuff herself. That night after dinner, Miss Watson, the widow's skinny old sister, started pecking at me. She told me all about the bad place where the people go after they die. I said I wish I was there. She got mad at me then, but I didn't mean no harm. All I wanted was a change. By and by they brought the slaves into the house and had prayers. Then everybody was off to bed. I went to my room with a small piece of candle and sat down in a chair by the window. I tried to think of something cheerful, but it was no use. I felt so lonesome, I almost wished I was dead. Pretty soon a spider went crawling up on my shoulder. I flicked it off, and it went right into the candle. I didn't need anybody to tell me that that was an awful bad sign that would fetch me some bad luck. I sat down shaken all over, and got out my pipe for a smoke. Pretty soon I heard a meow down below. I said meow as soft as I could. Then I slipped out the window to the ground. Sure enough, there was Tom Sawyer waiting for me. We went tiptoeing along the path toward the widow's garden when I fell over a root and made a big noise. Miss Watson's big slave, Jim, was there by the kitchen door. He says, "Who's there?" Jim tiptoed down the path and sat down and waited for the noise to come again. By and by he began to breathe heavy and to snore. I was in a sweat to get away, but Tom had to play something on Jim. So he slipped Jim's hat off and hung it in the tree right above him. Afterward, Jim said that witches put him in a trance. He said they rode him all over the state and then set him down under the trees again. Tom and me met up with Joe Harper and Ben Rogers and some of the other boys. We borrowed a boat and went across the river to a cave Tom knew about. Then Tom laid out his plan for a robber gang. First we had to sign our names in blood. We took an oath that if anyone told the gang's secrets, his family would be killed by the rest of the gang. Ben Rogers says, "Here's Huck Finn. He ain't got no family. What are you going to do about him?" "Well, ain't he got a father?" says Tom Sawyer. "Yes, he's got a father, but he ain't been seen in these parts for a year or more." They talked it over, and they was going to rule me out. I was almost ready to cry when all at once I thought of Miss Watson. They could kill her. The boys said she would do. Then Tom told us how we was going to be high-toned robbers, just like in the books he'd read. We'd stop stages and kill people and take their watches and money. It took us most of the night to settle everything. We elected Tom Sawyer first captain and Joe Harper second captain. I got back to the widow's house just before day was breaking. My new clothes was dirty, and I was dog tired. In the morning, I got a good going over by Miss Watson on account of my new clothes. But the widow, she didn't scold. She just cleaned them up. Then Miss Watson got to pray. She told me that praying would get me whatever I asked for. But I couldn't make it work when I tried for some fish hooks. When I asked the widow about it, she said what a body got from praying was gifts from the Spirit. She said it meant that I must help other people and never think about myself. I turned it over in my mind, but I couldn't see no advantage to it, except for other people. About this time, they found a man drowned in the river. People were saying it was my pap, but I had a feeling it wasn't him. Pap hadn't been seen for more than a year. I didn't want to see him no more. He used to always wail me when he was sober, and he could get his hands on me. I used to take to the woods most of the time when he was around. I judged the old man would turn up again by and by, though I wished he wouldn't. We played robber now and then, about a month, and then I quit. All the boys did. We hadn't robbed nobody, and hadn't killed anybody. We'd only just pretended. We used to hop around out in the woods and go charging down in hog drivers and women in carts taking garden stuff to market, but we never did anything to them. Well, 3 or 4 months run along, and it was well into winter now. I had been going to school and could spell and read and write just a little. The longer I went to school, the easier it got to be. I was sort of getting used to the widow's ways, too. One morning, I seen somebody's tracks nearby the house. I didn't notice anything at first, but next I did. There was a cross made with big nails to the left heel of the boot. Quick as I could, I went to the Judge Thatcher's. I told him I wanted him to take my money, all of it. He says, "Why, what can you mean, my boy?" "Please take it," says I, "and don't ask me nothing. Then I won't have to tell you no lies." But he wouldn't take it. He gave me a dollar and I left. That night, when I lit my candle and went up to my room, there sat Pap.